morning, everybody. Good. I got one good morning over here. Good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Let's start out with a word of prayer just to invite the Lord into our service this morning. Dear Jesus, we come before you today just with our hearts full of praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for what you've done for us and who you are. Lord, please be with us in this service, be in every part. Lord, help us just to glorify you and lift your name up. Lord, help us in our singing and the preaching, Lord. Help everyone to sing out just praises to you this morning. And all you do will praise you, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Who all knows that song, "This is the day"? This is the day that the Lord has made. Are you afraid to raise your hand, or is there only four people know that song? Oh, there we go, there we go. You had me scared there for a minute. I didn't want to do a solo up here. All right, so let's sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made." This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice. And be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his courts. I will enter his courts with rage. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Hey, would you give the Lord a praise this morning? Let's praise the Lord together. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, you may have come into this house of worship this morning with a frown on your face, but God's objective in mind helping him is that when you leave today, it's going to turn around and you're going to be rejoicing and smiling and celebrating the goodness of God. He is so good all the time. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. And it's just a joy to be together. I look forward so much to Sunday mornings to be with you. I trust that you are always excited to come and to worship and to see what God will do. And we are just glad for those that are with us today. And walking around and looking around, I see some are back. We're starting to get some of our folks back. Welcome home, those of you that are back. And today, if you are with us for the very, very first time, you've never worshiped here at Nettles Island Church, we're an interdenominational church. We just have so many different flavors of Christianity here, and we all get along, and we love each other, and it's wonderful. It's what heaven's going to be like. But if this is your first time today, I want to welcome you and just tell you that we are so thankful and grateful that you've come to be with us. And we have a little gift, a little promise book. God's promises looks just like this one right here that I'm holding up. And at the end of the service, before you leave, do me a huge favor. Just swing back by the information desk that's back in the back right corner over here and pick one of these up. Shake my hand and let me just greet you personally and personally thank you for being with us today. It's a joy to be here and to have you with us. One other just quick announcement today is that I came across an article this week as I was just going through some devotional stuff. It's called Five Ways Christians Should Respond to Fear-Driven Politics in Election Season. And it's really good. It's really good. Everybody out there on both sides is trying to make us afraid of the other side and put fear in our hearts. And listen, we don't have to be people of fear. We can be people of confidence because our confidence isn't in one side or the other, conservative or liberal. Our confidence is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a great little article. It's just a couple of pages, and there's five different little points. I'd encourage you, I made plenty. There's 60 of them, so every household could take one. There should be some even left over. Pick one of these up. They're all on the back table in the main entrance exit. So if you go out by the pool, you might want to swing around there and grab one and then just go ahead and exit out whatever door that you do. Or if you go down the stairs, grab one of these. You'll be glad you did because it'll help you with other people. Maybe you're not fearful, but other people are, and you'll be able to give them an answer. The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer to every man or woman that asks. And that's really talking about faith in Jesus and how to be saved, but it would apply here too. We can show them by our solid faith and the fact that we're not living fearfully like so many in the world are today, or in America anyhow. But amen. Would you do me a favor today? Would you stand to your feet? We haven't done this in a long time, and Steve and I in our meeting on Friday, we decided we wanted to do this. Would you take a minute, find somebody nearby and shake a hand or give a hug or a fist bump or whatever you're comfortable with? Say hello to somebody today. Sing it. We'll just start singing it.
So I'm so glad that I'm a part of this family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His love. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. For I'm part of the family of God. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God.
Amen. Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Are you thankful for the Lord's faithfulness in your life? Are you thankful for the Lord's faithfulness in your life this morning? Amen. That's more like it. I think we should start serving coffee or something. Amen. There's not a lot of people that you can look back through your life and they probably failed you. Even your spouse, they probably failed you here and there. You know, we're human. We do that. But I'm glad that we serve a God that has never failed us. He's always faithful. Amen. Amen. Sing this hymn with us this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, and strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sing the chorus a cappella. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me.
Amen. I'm thankful for his faithfulness. Sing this chorus. All my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. One more time. 'Cause all my life you have been. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, that's my testimony this morning. I've not always been faithful every day of my life to the Lord, but He's been faithful to me every day. I've gone through some hard times. So have you. So have you. You know what I'm talking about. We don't get to be to this stage in our lives without scars and wounds and circumstances and issues, but I can look back and I trust this is your story too, that you can say that as long as you've been a Christian, even in those times when you went through the valleys of the shadow of darkness, He was the light in that shadow. He was there. He lifted you up and He brought you out. That old song says that He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock, on Jesus to stay. We're going to go to prayer this morning. I just know that God's so good. And I just know that His promises are yes and amen. That word amen means so be it. God's promises are yes in the Word of God. What do you need from God today? I know I need more of Him. I'm just so thirsty for more of Jesus, more of His presence, more of His Holy Spirit working in my life every day. Some of you have come in today carrying your burden. I know that. I understand that. God sees it. But what He wanted you to do and what He wants you to do if you haven't done it yet is we need to learn that when we walk through those doors into the sanctuary, the holy place of God, we can take our burden off of our back, our big backpack filled with all the rocks and the stones, right? Sickness, finance, worry, stress, relationship issues, family matters, whatever it might be. We take that burden that we've been carrying, we say, I'm in the sanctuary, I'm going to lay it down. If you haven't done that, just in your mind, lay your burden at the foot of the cross today and say, Lord, it's yours. You're a God of freedom. You promised me freedom. We're going to go to prayer today, but I just want to have you, this isn't for me, this is you lifting your hand to the Lord saying, God, here's my need. Acknowledge me today, God, as I acknowledge you. Just lift a hand if you've got a burden today. Oh, yeah. Of course, we have the prayer request, the burdens that are on this prayer request. And so good to see Wayne Chief Thomas with us today. He went through a major event this week, but God was with him, and here he is this morning. He's a testimony to the goodness of God working in his life. We want to pray with Jim. Jim has a procedure and some testing tomorrow. It's very serious with his heart and early in the morning. So if you wake up early, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I trust that you'll remember Jim and you'll pray for Jim in the morning. I'll be praying for you, Jim. We're going to pray for you today. And of course, all of these other needs that are here, there's so many. And these are big burdens. These aren't just some little, oh, somebody had stubbed their toe or has a headache. These are cancers. These are heart issues. These are, you know, things with our thoughts, our minds are remembering. There are all kinds of things going on here. And we need God. I'm not ashamed to say that today. We need God. I can't do it by myself, and neither can you. But he never intended for us to. He said he would be there. He's that friend that stays closer than a brother. And he loves you. He loves us today. So let's pray. Let's go before the Lord together. Would you just bow your heads and just agree with me with your faith and your prayer today. Father, we just thank you. Lord, great is thy faithfulness. We sang it, but God, it's more than just a song. It's more than a hymn, a word that we put into music. It's the truth of who you are and the goodness of God, that all our lives you've been faithful. All since we've been your children, God, you've been there for us. Oh, we've gone through the valleys. We've struggled along through the difficulties of life, but you've never abandoned us. And even when the moments when, like the apostles, the disciples, they were in the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and crying out in the storm, God, what are we going to drown? And there you were. There you were. They didn't see you at first, but you were watching them. And there you were. You walked right across the top of the sea to them, and you protected them and provided. God, you're no different today. Jesus, you're the same. And so, God, I pray for every hand that was raised today. Lord, I pray in this place that as we lay our burdens down, that you would give us peace that passes understanding. God, that you would give us hope, that our faith would rise up, that we would anchor our faith to something in the Word of God, a promise. Lord, and we would stand firm and we would stand strong and we wouldn't waver. But God, we'd say that we know you're a good God. We know that you love us and we know that you have good things in store for those of us as we follow after you. So God, heal today and touch today and deliver today. God, for those on the prayer list, in Jesus' name, minister, God, to them. Just, Lord, begin the progress. We know that you're working because we pray every week for them, and we don't pray and think, well, God, we got to start all over again. We're not at square one. God, we know that you've been working in their lives. Keep working, keep moving, keep healing, keep doing the work until they come through this, God. God, I pray for Jim that you just put your hedge around him today. Protect him as he goes through procedures tomorrow morning early. Watch over him. Meet every need. God, give him a peace that passes understanding. God, be with Sally. Just comfort her and encourage her. And let her be an encouragement of faith as they are a team, as they work together, standing firm and standing strong. God, you've got this. Thank you for touching Wayne. Thank you for what you're doing. God, thank you for ministering to us today as we pray. Thank you for the answers that are on the way. We look to you and we hope in you. We give you all the praise. Father, we ask now that you would bless the word as it's preached this morning. Open our spiritual ears. Open our spiritual hearts. Open our minds. God, let us get ready to receive the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts and it separates and it divides asunder. God, that Word will bring us health and it'll bring us life. It'll bring us hope. It'll bring us victory. But God, help us to hear it. Help us to receive it. Help it to go into good soil today. And Father, hide me behind Jesus. Let the words that I speak be the words of God today. You preach this through me, that it might change our lives collectively and individually. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, I would preach, but I don't have any notes. And if I preach from just my memory, you ain't getting out of here till 2 o'clock. Because stuff just keeps running and running into my mind. And, well, you'd probably be gone. I'd be the only one here at 2 o'clock. Thank you, honey, for bringing my notes today. Isn't God good? See, he knew you needed a laugh and I needed to be taken down a peg. So he just did what he did. and we're all good. It's a good day. It's a good day. Amen. I don't know that I've ever gone to church and really left my notes somewhere else and had to try to wing it from scratch. That would not be a good day for anybody. Amen. We're in part four of our series on Battle Ready, and we're really talking about, last week we started talking about the armor of God and our tailor-made armor, and we're continuing that. For time's sake, I'm just doing two pieces of armor a week, and we talked about two, and I'll get into that in a minute. But I came across this story that fits so perfect this morning with as we start into this message. It was a boy's first day of junior high. How many of you guys remember your first day at junior high? It was kind of scary for me. I was such a little guy. I've been this size since junior high, just so you know. About 5'4¾", and I tell everybody I'm 5'5", and then I have to repent. But I'm almost there. In shoes, I am. But you remember your first day of junior high. You know, all of a sudden, you were in elementary school. And, you know, back in my day, we went through sixth grade. And then junior high was seventh and eighth. And then you became a freshman in high school, ninth. So here you were king of the hill in sixth grade in your elementary school, and man, nobody messed with you, and then all of a sudden, here you are, puny little Rob, 5'0", and everybody's bigger than you, and you don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to act. Well, this little guy, it was his first day at junior high, and all was going well until three older kids took his lunch, they ruffled his hair, and they stuffed him into a locker. They snarled at his squeals and high-fived one another as they walked away. But what the bullies didn't know was that the kid in the locker was the little brother of the football team's starting middle linebacker. After lunch, the boy told his brother what happened. His brother looked him in the eyes and said, "Let's go." And as they came to his locker, the bullies were there waiting for him, grinning. But he hadn't come alone, not this time. He came in the strength of his older brother, and that was the last day that they ever messed with him. Isn't that great? I don't know if that's a real story or not, but it's great. And it relates this morning because as Christians, we know, we've been in the series, we're facing something that's much scarier than getting stuffed into a locker in junior high. We're facing an enormous enemy who wants to devour our faith and destroy our lives and our homes and our families. But we aren't alone in this battle. We're not alone in this war. Like that little middle schooler, we've got an older brother. His name is Jesus. And he's a conquering king, and he is a champion of the ages. And guess what? He walks with us. He goes where we go, through the power of His Holy Spirit. You remember the day that Jesus was leaving, and He was telling His disciples in the 120, and He said, "I'm going to be leaving." And they stood there, and they were nervous as they watched Him ascend up into the clouds. But He said to them, "It's more important for you, for us, that I go. Because if I go, the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you, and He will be in you." So God's Spirit is with us everywhere we go. He's like that older linebacker brother. And so today I want you to be encouraged, not fearful. This is not a fearful series. This is a "we're going to get after it" series, and we're going to make sure that we're winning the battles against the enemy. Now, when the Apostle Paul instructs the Ephesian church about spiritual warfare, he begins by exhorting them not to go into battle in their own strength. This is where we get messed up. Something happens and we just react and we respond and we go after it. And that's not what God's wanting us to do. Paul exhorted them and he said, "Don't do this in your own strength." He says this, "Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord," not in yourselves, in the Lord, "and the strength of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." That's early on. We've talked about that verse early on, but that's kind of the key pin, the linchpin verse of all this. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And then he says, put on the whole armor. And that's why we're talking about the armor of God this morning, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, every one of us, Every one of us is in, just hold that there because that's what's coming up next. Every one of us is in a spiritual battle of some sort each and every day. Every day. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and the enemy's not going to have some kind of plan or have a henchman, one of his fallen angels or one of the demon spirits or something that's going to track and follow and try to mess you up, get you angry, get you frustrated, get you something, and just get you to where you're not at peace in your heart and walking closely with the Lord. Every one of us are in a spiritual battle of some sort every day, every day. And our spiritual battles and warfare are real, even though we can't physically see them and we don't see who the attacker is. There's evil that we fight against in our spiritual warfare. And in this verse right here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 16, let's look at it. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. You can't just put on one piece of this and go, I'm good enough. You know? You got to put it all on. We're being instructed by God's word to put on all of the armor, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and that's every day in some way, fashion, form, or another, you'll be able to stand your ground and having done everything, stand. Stand. Now you say, well, what good is just standing? It's not. That's not what that's talking about. All right? Go ahead to the next verse. There's another verse part of this. And having done everything... Okay, I'm sorry, where are we at? Okay, have everything to stand. Okay, so right there. So stand firm, then with the belt of truth. That's what we're going to talk about. We talked about that. Around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All right, so we're going to talk about those last two today. All right, our feet fitted and our shield of faith. But I want to talk to you about standing. You say, well, what good is standing isn't warfare, but it is. Because in the Greco-Roman, when they would compete and they would wrestle against each other, the way that worked was you won the match when you took your opponent off of his feet three times. So here's this match. Think about like high school wrestling, college wrestling, or the Olympics or whatever, and they're wrestling. And, you know, they start out on their feet, and then they start out with somebody's like table prone, and, you know, and then the other person is on the third set. Well, they still do three sets, but the wrestling match for the Romans and the Greeks was over when you could wrestle for 4 hours, 6 hours, all day long if nobody went off their feet, because you had to be knocked off your feet three times. So that's why Paul, when he's thinking about this, he says, put on the armor so you can stand. And having done all, putting on all the armor, you can stand your ground. You can't lose if you're on your feet. The devil wants to, you know, spiritually speaking or metaphorically speaking, knock you off your feet, toss you over, get you on the ground. And if you're standing, he can't. And guess what? Even if you go down one time, two times, three times, God's word tells us we keep getting back up because he is our victory. And if you say, well, I got tempted and I yielded to temptation three times in this thing, I guess I'm defeated now. No, you're not. You get back up and stand back up, because in God's kingdom, it's not Roman Greco, it's God's kingdom. And he says, I'm with you and having done all to stand. But God wants you to stand firm, resisting in that hand-to-hand combat with the spiritual forces that are spiritual. It's not physical. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to be grabbing somebody, but it's going to be a warfare that comes into your mind, into your heart, into your thoughts, and you need to stand your ground. So we're going to look at these this morning in just a minute. But every Christian needs to know how to do spiritual warfare, because as a Christian, you are a soldier in the Lord's army. And like it or not, you're in a fight with the devil. You can't opt out of this. You can say, well, I'm just gonna be a real nominal Christian. I just won't read my Bible and I won't pray, and you know, I'll skip church once in a while. And you know, if I don't do anything, if I just kinda hold on to my fire insurance policy, my salvation plan, you know, and I really don't grow up in God, then the devil won't. Yes, he will. He'll still bother you. He'll still hassle you. So like it or not, we're in a fight with the devil, and his intentions towards you are not good. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan. And he hates you because he hates the God who loves you. And you're the apple of God's eye. You're the most price-filled, valuable thing that God has. You are. And because of that, that's why the enemy goes after you, goes after me. And so our only option is to fight back. We can just rest on our laurels. And the reason that we're in this study is to learn from Scripture how to do that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, and he said, I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. You've probably read that verse before. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. Another version says, I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. Now, a boxer can throw a lot of punches. I don't know if any of you have ever boxed. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about this morning. I did a little bit of boxing in college. Not very much. I'm going to tell you a story about that in a minute. It's not very uplifting about me, but it'll make the point. But a boxer can throw a lot of punches. They can just, like a windmill, be up there throwing all over. But if they don't connect those punches, they don't get any points and they don't win the match, do they? Just beating the air. That's what Paul's saying. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. I'm not missing my punches. I'm connecting, Paul is saying. And you and I this morning, we're going to connect when we put the armor of God on and we make a counterattack against the enemy. And so that's the main reason why a boxer trains, so that they can learn the skill to make those punches hit, make those punches count. They not only now have to know how to hit the target, but they have to know how to assert the proper force behind each punch. And there's an uppercut, and there's a roundhouse, and there's a straight punch, and there's all these different things that have different amounts of energy when they hit, and they do different things to the body. So technique matters, doesn't it? But so does having heart. You got to have heart. You're in this thing. You got to be all in. You got to have tenacity. You got to be persistent, not one that's going to give up and say, I can't take this. I can't do this. No, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. When I was in college, some of you remember my friend that's preached here once. His name's Tim. He was here, taller than me, bald-headed guy. We had another buddy. His name's Jeff, and he was a three-state Golden Glove champ. Missouri, Oklahoma, and Illinois, I think, when he was in college. He was traveling all around, and he was just winning all these matches. And so one day, Jeff said, why don't you guys come and train with me, and I'll teach you how to box. So we went up into a racquetball room, closed the door. We're in there putting the gloves on. We start boxing. Tim and I had never boxed much before. He did a little something kicking, or he knew some karate or something, but I didn't really know any of that. So we're going along a couple weeks, and one day Jeff walks in, and he's got a Snickers candy bar, one of the big ones. And he says, whoever wins today gets the Snickers bar. Well, we're poor college kids, and that Snickers bar looked really good. So we suit up with the gloves, and we start fighting, and all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, it came over my friend Tim, but his eyes changed. They like rolled in the back of his head, and when they came back, he was just not the same guy. And I'm trying to fight my friend, boxing my friend. He's my friend. I want to win the match, but I don't want to hurt the guy. He came on like a fury. The punches were connecting. I was all I was doing was block, 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 trying to throw a jab every once in a while. And he was just whacking my head to the point that finally Jeff said, okay, he called it. He says, if I don't stop this now, Volpe's not even going to be able to walk out of here. Tim smiled, took his Snickers bar. The next week I was in, Jeff said after school or after our dinner that night, he said, hey, I need a sparring partner. He says, why don't you come up and box with me tonight? I don't want to run all. He would run to the YMCA and work out. It was 5 miles away and it was snowing or something. So he said, come work out with me. So I did. And I don't know, he invited a couple of the school girls to come up and they were standing along the wall in there. And you know, I was boxing for a while with Tim, so I was getting, like, at least a little decent. And so we're boxing, and Jeff's going easy because he's three-stater. And I'm making good hits, and I'm connecting. I'm giving it everything I got. And he's going easy, but I'm hitting Jeff, you know, the three-state Golden Glover. And it's getting embarrassing for him, and these girls are watching him that he invited up. And all of a sudden, Jeff came off on a fury on me. I didn't even know what hit me. He hit me so bad, square in the nose, that it split the cartilage and the little bridge that goes down to the lip. I was bleeding all over the place. My nose was so sore, it swelled up. It didn't break my nose, but it split the skin at the cartilage. And that's the last day I ever boxed. I haven't boxed since. I haven't even been near a boxing match. You see, I lost my heart for boxing. The pain was too much. The battle got too strong for Volpe. He didn't like bleeding. He didn't like the pain of it. He didn't like the discomfort of it. And so the tenacity left and the persistence left, and old Volpe just gave up. And Jeff would be like, come on, boss, I'm done. I'm done with you, buddy. I'm done. I'll go out and learn curling. I don't think they had curling back then. But if they did, that would have been an easy one for me. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, hear me on this, about heart. Endure hardness. Take heart, is what he's saying. Take heart. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Boxers and fighters who win also know how to defend themselves against the onslaughts of their opponent. They're not only throwing the punches, they know how to block the punches. They know how to defend themselves. And that's why we're in the series on the armor of God, this battle strong and battle ready. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the belt of truth. And we said in there is that the very first piece of armor that the soldier would put on to make his tunic be tight to his skin so it wouldn't get in the way was he'd take a leather belt and he'd strap it around his tunic, and he could hang his sword on that and some other things. But Paul calls this the belt of truth. And we said that the Word of God, the Bible, is where we get our truth from. It's never going to change. It's absolute. It is the truth. I don't care when culture changes what they say is true. The Word of God, if it says it in there, that's for all of eternity. Because if God's Word is not true, then God's a liar. And if God's a liar, He can't be God, and it just all goes down the drain from there. But I'm happy to say today that God's Word will never change. The Bible says, I'm the Lord your God, I change not. His words aren't going to change. So when we look at what's going on in the sins and the things that our culture is trying to push on us, the one that comes to my mind is the abortion thing. How many people just think that you can just, it's no big deal anymore. It is a big deal. God said to the prophet, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. I had plans for you. God knows us because He knows the beginning from the end, and we are precious. Every soul is precious. And the Bible declares that, but our world today wants us to believe something different. You can believe the world or you can believe the Bible. The Bible is the truth of God's Word. It's the truth. Now, what we said on that was, it's not just the truth of the Word that's going to give us the victory by putting that on. It's the truth that we know. We've got to be in our Word. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher in England, said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. That's true. That's true. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and we talked about righteousness and righteous living, and our victory comes from our obedience to God's Word. Now, if we're never in the Bible, we don't know what God wants and what God expects, so how do we get obedience? So the Word, the truth, and then we begin to obey the Word of God, and that is our breastplate of righteousness. This morning, we're looking at 3 and 4. The shoes of peace is our first one, and these military sandals that the Roman soldiers wore, they were made of very, very strong leather. The leather was pulled up and strapped up to their calves very tightly and wrapped around and tied very tightly so that they wouldn't come off in battle. And the soles of the soldiers' feet were studded with spikes. Think of football cleats. Are you golfers, the little golfer cleats that you wear? Think about that. They were studded with spikes to give them sure footing when they went into battle. And every soldier maintaining strong and sure footing was essential to the Roman battle strategy. They couldn't afford for one to falter because they worked their strategy out as a unit, as a platoon. As they would go forth, they needed to be strong and they needed to have sure footing together. The Roman armies knew how to line up with one another, and then with their large shields, they would form a solid barrier against the enemy. And as long as they stood together in the field and didn't break ranks, their legions, 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers each, were considered virtually invincible. That's why Rome ruled the world when they did in that time, because their army was so invincible. And it was their footwear that enabled them to stand firm in the heat of the battle. Now, Paul, using this analogy of the footwear that we've just described in Ephesians 6:15, he says, "Wear shoes on your feet, which are the good news of peace." The New Living Translation says this, "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared." Now, the gospel is the message of salvation. Jesus came, he lived righteous and pure, he went to the cross, died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose again. The gospel is a message of peace with God. Okay? Our sins, we're all sinners, then we get saved. But our sins separated us and caused us to be in conflict, at war with the holiness and the righteousness of God's character. We were at enmity, the Bible says. We were at war with God. But in Romans 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord's done for us." Jesus stood in the gap that separated us from God the Father, serving as our mediator to reconcile us or bring us back to God the Father who loves us, and to bring the Father to us. He was our reconciler. And he did this, taking our punishment on the cross, as I mentioned a minute ago, paving the way for us to have peace with God. If you're a Christian this morning, if you love Jesus, if you've given your heart to Christ, you're walking in peace with God. God's not against you. God is for you. God doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's for you. Now, every believer, every Christian already has peace with God. It's given at the moment we surrender and we give our lives over to Him. So that's not what Paul's talking about when he says, put on the shoes, buckle up those shoes of peace. That's not exactly what he's talking about here. We already have the peace of God with us every day. But putting on the shoes of peace, rather, Paul is directing us. Now listen, because this is harder than the other. We got saved. God gave us peace with Him. This is peace with others. Oh boy, why'd you have to say that? Peace with others. Peace with other people, with your husband, with your wife, with your mother-in-law, or your daughter-in-law, or your neighbor. And especially, all those are important, but especially with other believers. All of us living together, learning to live in peace. We don't all think the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all do the same. We don't all like the same foods in the same restaurants. But we're called to work together to live in peace. God takes this very seriously. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 23, 24. "If you take your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, you should pray harder for him at the altar and ask God to give you a reason and an answer why you could maybe make friends with your brother that has ought." Oh, wait a second. That's not up there, is it? Leave. If you go to the altar, if you come to church to worship, the altar represents the place of worship. And you and I came in here today to sing and to worship and to hear the message, and this is worship. If you come into the house of God and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift on the altar. Go and make right whatever is wrong between you and him, and then come back and give your gift. In the culture of the day, they would come and they would bring their gifts. They would bring sacrifices and they would give that to the priest that was working that day at the outer altar, and he would take that. But God is saying, if you come to worship me and you realize that you're not at peace with a brother or a sister or a family member or someone, you're at war with them, God takes this seriously enough. He says, I'd rather that you would leave the worship and not even worship me till you go get that straightened out. Now, I do want to say this, and we're going to get there. The Bible's smarter than we are, And so Paul writes in there in another place, as much as is possible. Some people are never going to want to make peace with you. You made your attempt. They slapped you in the face. You tried another attempt. They slapped you on the other side of the face. You turned your cheek. At that point, you can stop trying. And now just go to warfare and pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? You get that this morning? So it's important. God wants us to be at peace in unity one with the other. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy, because without holiness no one will see the Lord. So the Lord connects working out our relationships with others with our holiness, doesn't he? It's right there in the verse. And in our text in Ephesians 6, talking about the shoes of peace, talking about being peaceable in our attitudes and our actions toward others, especially those that are of the family of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, he said, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. And Satan understands that. That's why he tries to divide. You know how many churches have been split because people couldn't get along with each other? People didn't like something the pastor said. So this side started to war against the pastor's words. And this side stood with the next thing you know, half the church is gone. I took a church in Jupiter, Florida, that when it was in its heyday, it was running 120 people. A man came into the pulpit and started to say things that were derogatory toward the guy that was the pastor, and half the board sided with the guy that was speaking that day, and the church divided right in half. 60 people went and started a church somewhere else, and 60 people were in the church. And then out of those 60, out of discouragement over the months, half of those people left and went to who knows where, and the church was down to 25 people when I arrived. Things happen. You and I know that that happens. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that we can be so diverse in our backgrounds and how we've come to the Lord. And yet, the secret key ingredient is Jesus, isn't it? What do we do with Jesus? It doesn't matter to me how you label yourself here on earth. We're not going to have those labels in heaven. You're not going to be a Catholic or a Protestant. You're not going to be a Baptist or a Methodist or in heaven. And so we have some differences, but yet we come together, and what do? We say, look, we're going to focus on Jesus. He died for us. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? He'll work the rest of that out with us. And His Word will guide us and teach us, and we'll transform and we'll change and we'll become what He wants us to be by being here together. But a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. The devil knows that. That's why he's trying to destroy households. That's why he's trying to destroy churches. That's why he's trying to destroy Christian ministries. Because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And then the Bible says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed. Do you want to be blessed? I do. Do you want to be blessed? You want to walk under the blessing of God? Blessed are the peacemakers. They're called the children of God. So we look at that. We put on peace. We work at being peaceful and in unity with one another. That's something that's important in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, if two of you will agree on touching any one thing, it shall be done. There's strength in numbers, and the devil knows that. That's why he tries to divide. And that's why Paul says, put on your shoes of peace. Be at peace. And listen to me, wherever it's possible, sometimes it's not. We do our part and then we pray. The fourth one, and quickly, is the shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16, above all, the Bible says, now that doesn't mean more than the others, that this is more important. The NIV says, in addition to, and I like that translation better. The New King James, above all. It just means in addition to, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the Roman shield of the time was called a scutum. And we have a picture of that here, a scutum. And it was about 4.5 feet long, 2.5 feet across. And when a soldier would kind of hunker down, they could be shielded completely if they'd bend their knees. They could get totally behind that thing when they knelt down. And then you see the picture to the other side. That was a group that, can you imagine if you were shooting arrows at these guys? It'd be pretty hard to take them all out, wouldn't it? because of the way that they learned to work. This was what the Roman army would do in their little pods or in their little groups. And so such a shield was not just defensive, but they could also use it as they got into hand-to-hand with the sword, pushing the enemy back and working against the enemy and pushing him back. And so the shield of faith mentioned here in Ephesians 6 serves as a metaphorical spiritual armor, symbolizing our protection, our resilience, and our steadfast faith. It's the shield of faith. Listen, without faith, we can't honor the Lord. We can't please Him. When we're running around like a chicken with our head cut off, going, oh my, the sky is falling. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my. That basically smacks in the face of God that I don't trust you, God. It's all about me and I don't know what to do. This talks of a faith that is unwavering in its conviction or belief in God and His divine plan over our lives. Do you believe this morning that God knows exactly where you are, what you're doing, what you're all about? He knows what you're having for lunch. He knows what you're going to watch on television, what you guys especially, but I don't want to leave the ladies out, what football games you're... He knows all that. He has a divine plan. He knows what we're going to do, but He has a divine plan over all of that, and He wants to bring us into that. And that divine plan serves as an impenetrable fortress, just like those guys in the shield as they formed around each other, that wards off the spiritual assaults. And this is a faith that deflects our doubts and fears and the metaphorical flaming arrows of the evil one. See, He shoots those arrows of doubt, fear, worry. Those aren't from God. Those are arrows coming in, but when the shield is up, they can't get to us. They can't do the work that's there. When faith is working, it's what's taking place and what's going on. I think of Abraham. He's our greatest example in this, I think, in all of the Bible, who trusted God and didn't doubt God's promise. God has made you and I promises. Now let me go back for a second. Remember the belt of truth, right? Thy word is true. If you never read your Bible, if you never get to studying and looking and finding the promises, and I encourage you to highlight or underline the promise of God, how will you even know what they are? You've got to know the truth. The truth that you know is what's going to give you the victory. So that kind of works with our faith. Watch how it works with Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham was in a hopeless situation. Abraham, in hope, he chose to hope even though it looked bad. He said, I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to go with what God said, and I'm going to hope. He believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He acknowledged, nothing wrong with acknowledging, God, I don't know how this is going to happen because I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough money to do this in the bank, I can't do this in myself. He acknowledged his own inferiority and his own weakness. The fact that his body was good as dead since he was 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. But look at verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. He didn't doubt regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised. What did God promise? God came to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a dad. All my life, all my married life, God, I've wanted to be a dad. We've tried. It just didn't work out for us. Abraham, now's the time. But God, I'm 100 years old. My wife, she can't have babies. How are we going to do this? God said, because I'm God and I can do anything. I can do the impossible. And Abraham, you're going to be a dad. And so what did Abraham do? Against hoping against the hope, trusting in God, looking at the situation as it was, saying in the natural, this is bad. But in the spiritual, I've got the shield of faith out and I'm going to trust God. And I'm persuaded that God has the power to do what the Word of God says He can do in my life. So to sum it up, the shield of faith is a call for you and I to stay active in our faith and to be praying. The Bible, the apostles said, the disciples said, Lord, would you increase our faith? That was their prayer. I pray that. I hope you do too. Increase my faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:38 that the just shall live by faith. the saved shall live by faith. So no matter what's going on in our lives, we need to trust in the Lord. And we defeat evil. We achieve the victory through our faith. So let me close this morning. So how do we looked at these four pieces of battle armor to be battle ready. The belt of truth, it's the truth that we know. Get into the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, it's saying, God, help me to live in obedience to your Word. The shoes of peace, being at peace with others, and the shield of faith, starting to just operate in faith, not in what we see, but in what we know God said. Now, next week, we're going to conclude this series with on spiritual warfare as we investigate the helmet of salvation and the spirit, or the sword of the Spirit. And as we close, let me leave you and I with a powerful promise from the Lord. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. It says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Hallelujah. God's given us everything we need. The weapons that we're talking about, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We haven't gotten into those. We may do that later on. Those are weapons we have. But the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world, but on the contrary, they're divine. And they demolish the work of the enemy. God has provided everything that we need to win the battle. Would you stand with me and let's close in prayer. Father, we bow our hearts and we bow our heads this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you gave us tailor-made armor. God, we're all different sizes physically and we're all different sizes in our spiritual walk with you. We're at different places. And so, God, you know that and you give us exactly what we need that works for us. It's not too big, it's not too small, it's not too hard to understand. God, it's perfect for each and every one of us. And so, God, I pray this morning that as we close out this service, that you would help us today to walk in the victory that you have provided for us through Jesus at the cross. The devil doesn't have the right to defeat us. He doesn't have the authority to defeat us. But God, greater is he that is in us than the devil, he that's in this world. God, I pray that you'll make us a church of great spiritual warriors. God, we'll be the army of God and that we'll come together as a people and as a group and we'll start to see mighty things of God take place, the mighty works of God in our lives as we pray, God, that heaven moves the mountains and heaven raises the valleys and makes the roads straight for our people. God, I cover your people in the blood of Jesus today. God, as we go out of this place, let us know that we have the victory. We claim it, we walk in it, we live in it, we breathe it, God, and we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For a closing song, I want you to sing with me this morning, just the chorus, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. Just make it your anthem today. Make it your prayer as we sing. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming. He loved me. Amen. You are dismissed.